It's time for Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the greatest automotive podcast in the known world with Ron Foreman, Brady Wright, and Steve Johann. Let's find out what's going on this week. It is Tuesday, July 28th, 2020. Brady Wright, Ron Foreman, your host, Steve Johann, the producer. There are a whole bunch of folks listening to this episode. We know because it's the 147th episode.
That's right.
Of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. We're on iTunes, iHeart Podcast, Spotify, CastBox, which personally I haven't tried CastBox. I got to go see what that's about. Podbay is another one. Player FM, Stitcher, TuneIn. We're on every single available podcast distribution device.
Thank you.
And a couple that we haven't made up yet. But we really appreciate you doing it. We also appreciate you liking and following our Facebook page. We're getting more and more followers. That's good. The latest shows are all there, of course, and Steve is working real hard to get all of our archives back on the YouTube channel. That's also growing. Please go and listen to our YouTube channel. That's really cool. You make sure you subscribe there as well. Right now, our first segment is always Back to the Blacktop. That's where Steve grabs a whole bunch of automotive news and information. As usual, what do you got today, my friend?
Well, we all remember Carlos Ghosn, the Nissan-Mitsubishi Alliance guy that got nailed for fraud and was arrested in Japan.
Yeah.
Well,
not good.
Son of former Renault-Nissan-Mitsubishi Alliance boss Carlos Ghosn.
Son of Ghosn?
Yes. Used $500,000 in cryptocurrency to help his father flee from Japan.
Well, son
where
of a,
he was facing,
son of a Ghosn.
Yes. I like it. Where he was facing trial for corruption, according to a new documents filed in federal court in Boston. The allegations emerged as prosecutors moved forward in the case, made its former Green Beret Michael Taylor and his son Peter, both accused and playing a key role in Ghosn's escape from Japan last December. The two men were themselves arrested in May and faced the prospect of being extradited to Japan. Prosecutors
this
in that country hope to gain custody of a number of people who allegedly assisted in the bold escape plan that reportedly saw Ghosn sneak out of Japan by hiding in a box loaded on Turkish cargo carrier. Once it reached Turkey, the 66-year-old executive was believed to have transferred to another plane bound for his ancestral home in Lebanon, where he now resides. Now, this would make a movie, if I could ever imagine.
Would make a Three Stooges movie.
Well, let's just think about how this is all done. He's caught in fraud. He's in Japan. He's sitting in jail.
Well, clearly these guys have money. I mean, you don't do this stuff unless you got a whole bunch of dough and probably the goods on a bunch of other people.
Oh,
you know, this is way above our pay grade.
Way above our pay grade. We're talking national level of government here.
It's
you know,
goofy.
It is goofy. For those who saw rental car giant Hertz bankruptcy filing, as we talked about,
a sad chapter.
It is. Well, as a way to get a great deal, they have 182,000 cars available for sale right now.
Yeah, and I told you when we first had this story that my insurance agent, my life insurance and auto insurance agent, this guy for years never bought a new car. He would always buy a six-month-old brand-new car from Hertz, fleet cars, because they took real good care of them. They had relatively low mileage.
Yep.
They turned them over, and they still had warranty, and he spoke really highly for that. So, you know, if they've got 182,000 cars, some good deals to be had here. They're clean cars.
Oh, they're very clean.
Non-smoking cars, too.
Well, most of them,
they really are. They specify.
And then Globalist Update. A report from the Australian Strategic Policy Institute charges General Motors, along with several other top automakers, including BMW, Mercedes-Benz, and Volkswagen, have all been accused of using forced labor at factories in China. Whoa! Imagine that.
Wonderful.
Just like Nike and Apple and many other U.S. corps.
Forced labor, though. That's even better.
Yes. Well, you got to know that most of these guys are slave labor over there.
Oh, yes.
So, anyway, it's a bear when you get caught for doing this, and hopefully there will be some ripple effects. But, I mean, come on. I mean, General Motors, BMW, Mercedes, and again, this talk takes place at high levels, a lot of grease palming in order to get things done.
And palm greasing.
And palm greasing while you're at it, yes. A lot of greased palms over in China working at those slave labor camps. Well, during the 2019 General Motors Show, Geneva Motor Show, Bugatti marked its 110th birthday by producing a replica of the Bugatti Baby.
Oh.
A scaled-down version of the 1926 Type 35.
Those things were huge.
Yeah, but they were small as compared to...
The Bugatti?
No, this is the baby. This is the little one.
Even so, that was a good-sized car. In the 20s, they made big cars back then.
Yeah, compared to the T
What is it, a go-kart now?
Due to global circumstances, some of the 500 replica baby 2 models that were spoken for have become available. So, in other words, they did a limited edition of 500.
Right.
Well, now they're starting to be available because, you know, all the conditions, they couldn't roll them out as fast as they wanted to.
Oh, sure, sure.
Now they're coming out. So anybody who wants a Bugatti Baby, 1926 Type 35, which basically is a scaled-down version of the original. So I think it's it really is cute-looking car.
Have you got a picture?
Well, I didn't. I don't have one with me, no.
Okay, we'll look it up. I'm going to put a picture of it on the page.
Yeah, on the
so
Facebook
page. So we can
page.
See what it is. I want the dimensions. I want the wheelbase and the dimensions, too.
It would be really interesting.
Yeah.
It would.
All right.
And then there is a big rise in the interest of 80s Suburbans now.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Because we've known that the Blazers and the boxy bodies have, of the C-bodies, Chevy trucks and all that have been just fabulous out there, the 60s, 70s. Now it's moving in the 80s because, let's face it, a lot of more 80s vehicles are available than the 70s and 60s.
Well, sure. You're just talking metal fatigue, if nothing else.
And they were very boxy.
Yep.
Very large.
And the square bodies were almost 20 years worth of cars.
It really was. And you look at the transformation between the 70s and the 80s, and there really wasn't. I think, when did the small Blazers or whatever they called those things, Trailblazers came in.
About 85, 90, right in there.
Yeah, they were not very well built. I mean, those
engines. Well, it was a smaller chassis. It was a compromise.
And the engines were not, a lot of them just went.
Well, they did what everybody was doing at the time, which was scaling down and looking for those mid-size and sometimes even compact crossover vehicles. And, you know, some of them worked and some of them didn't.
You are right. I mean,
the Mazda CX... 9 was what they call a full size. Well, it is a full size chassis. It's 109 inches.
Right.
The CX-7 was actually built on a Nissan Sentra chassis, which wasn't a truck and it wasn't meant to be. And, you know, it worked for a little while, but then people got tired of it and they discontinued it. And a lot of those cars in that category, that size, the mid-size and compact crossovers,
that
didn't stick too long because they, you know, technology went past the desire.
Well, and if you think about it, the 80s, mid-80s is when everything, I mean, you just look at 70s. I had a 77 Monte Carlo. So then you look at what happened in the 80s, and they just, like, shrunk. Everything shrunk, got a little more boxy, and, of course, so did their vehicles.
Sure.
But the Suburbans and the Blazers were still big-size vehicles.
Right. Separate zip code.
Separate zip code. And a lot of steel on those things.
Yep.
So if you guys are in the mood, Hemmings is showing some really nice work out there to be purchased, and some of those came with we've featured some of this before. Some of the Suburbans were also used for forest vehicles, emergency vehicles, paramedics, and
that,
stuff like that.
They hold a lot of gear.
They really could.
Yeah.
So keep your eyes open on that. And you know, I was just thinking, you know, right now we are weathering a unique time in history. And I got to thinking, you know, what's important when you're going through trials and tribulations and world-changing events? And really it comes down to faith, family, and friends. And
tequila.
Well, tequila, I think that's why they didn't close the liquor stores when you couldn't go to church. You could still go to liquor stores.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
But what I've discovered is one of the ways of keeping those people close by is through the hobby of cars.
Sure.
Whether it's building them, cruising them, hanging out with each other. And I know you're involved with 2 car clubs.
Well, 2 car clubs and 5 car shows. And as a matter of fact, next week in this particular vein, we've got 2 separate people as guests who are going to talk about exactly that, the gathering of, you know, communing souls regarding cars, and a couple of pretty cool events coming up.
Yeah.
So, hey, thanks for tuning in. Coming up on the Windshield View, we got a really, really cool artist. You'll find out who when we come back. Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Hey, it's Hillary Nowak from Ink and Iron in Oakville, Ontario, Canada, and you're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. We can't help you with the horsepower, but we can definitely help you with the chrome and rust.
I'm more resourceful than I thought.
My suit can still make an impression.
My video games are still game changers.
And my lamp can bring others a bright future.
Because when I donate my stuff to Goodwill,
it helps fund job placement and training for people right in my community.
Now my stuff gets a second chance.
And will give someone in my community
a second chance too.
Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. That's goodwill.org. This message brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
In 95, I helped tow your trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Hey, Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust is back. This is the first half of the Windshield View. This week, our guest is Danny Whitfield, and Danny is an automotive artist with an incredible body of work. We're going to give you his website. It's Danny Whitfield, WHITFIELD.com. Danny, welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Super. Hey, good. Well, look, I know that that Steve talked with you a little bit about being on the show, and I have been kind of folding my way through your website here. This is really incredible stuff. So if you can, if you could describe what it is you do in two sentences, well, how would you tell people what Danny Whitfield's all about?
Danny Whitfield creates artwork, but that's probably a little bit less than two sentences. Danny Whitfield creates artwork from a paintbrush to an electronic pen. But it all comes from the hands of Danny Whitfield.
And I'm looking at some of the pictures on your page, just the front page. I mean, there's an about the artist and everything else. But you not only create your own, you know, original stuff for all different kinds of vehicles, but also, you know, obviously you sell prints and things, and you do some personalization as well.
Yes.
So if I was to send you, for example, a picture of my car or my truck or something like that, you could essentially make it into a painting, an electronic painting. Is that kind of what I'm getting?
That is correct.
Super.
That personalization gets you exactly what you have, right down to the wheels, to the bumpers, everything. And if you wanted it customized in any way, I offer that service too under the rendering concept work that I do. If most of the people out there know about Chip Foose, well,
sure,
they would kind of think of me as in that same light. I can do it in pure stock, or I can do it as a custom vehicle. But any way you want it, you can have it sitting in the grass, or you can have it in front of a big fountain, or you can have it right in your garage. But that's what I will do for you.
Now, you brought up Chip Foose, and of course he's, you know, well known for all of the things that he does, but his artwork has always been kind of a fun part of that show. And the thing that he does that I always kind of liked, it always impressed me, was I have seen him actually draw the car upside down and hand the drawing. I'm not going to ask you if you can do that. I'm just assuming that you can.
Yes.
But it's that kind of stuff, right? I mean, you do not only concept pieces, but like you said, somebody's actual car.
Yes, yes. I do everything under the sun. Car, truck, a tank, anything. But cars are my specialty because that's my lifeblood. It's been my first love all my life, and it's something I love doing for a very long time.
Well, and that kind of brings me up to where I wanted to go with this is let's step back in time for a moment, and let's talk about when did you first get bitten by the car bug, and how did that translate eventually into a budding artist, and what school you went to, and how you moved along in your career?
Well, it starts with my dad, because he himself is an automotive lover and enthusiast. And as far back as I can remember, the age of five, drawing cars. At the time, people thought I was drawing a dog, but it was a car. It just had wheels on it. And I continued to draw throughout my life, throughout junior high school, and everything. And by the time I got my first, I won't say scholarship, but a grant to go to school, I went to a Macomb County Community College first, and then transferred to Center of Creative Studies, which is now known as College of Creative Studies in Detroit, Michigan. And I went there for 4 years, and then I was fortunate enough to get picked doing the automotive art in some of the technical buildings around Ford Motor Company and in Dearborn. And by that time then, I transferred over to Warren, Michigan, to do work for General Motors. And it's been smooth sailing up until the time about 1998, when there are layoffs that may end up happening, and some guys get cut, some guys don't. But within that time period, around 1994 on, I started doing automotive art. And I did that in many car shows, and this had nothing to do with the internet or anything, because it really wasn't booming at that time. And so I was drawing more with a paintbrush and airbrush and doing the car show circuit. And that worked out pretty good for a while, but like anybody knows, you can make some money, and then you have to turn around and pay your bills. And it was pretty rough at the time. But when the internet got started, everything changed. That changed the whole scope of the whole spectrum of art. And people warmed up to the artwork because more people could see it this time. And I don't mean just in your own city or your own state, but even throughout the whole world now. That's why they call it the World Wide Web, because everybody has a chance to see your work. And with today's technology, I'm very easily can sell the artwork just about anywhere now, globally.
Well, what I like about what you're doing is, so what you're telling me is you didn't actually do any car artwork per se for the auto manufacturer. You were doing other types of artwork for them?
Now, if we're talking to manufacturers such as Ford and GM, yes, I did do styling work. That's where the guy sits there and draws a car right out of his mind to come up with a styling concept for 4 years ahead of time. Then I did also illustration work, and this is where you show the exploded views of different parts for cars or your manuals that came in the car back then when they showed them exploding away from a certain object, or an engine or something of that nature. But now everything's more sophisticated. They don't do it like that anymore. But I did do lots of technical illustrations first, and then I got into the color and design illustrations and concept renderings, which was the bulk of my work by that time.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, because back in my previous life, I was an electromechanical drafter. And I end up being a tech illustrator for electronics company and doing manuals. And the best part of when I got to do manuals were the exploded views of showing the chassis of a electronic panel and parts and everything, and all the bolts and pieces coming out all over the place. And I loved that. That was like the favorite thing. But unfortunately, I only got to do a little of that. Mostly it was just schematics and all that kind of stuff. And ultimately, after that, I moved on and went to the Art Institute, think I'd be in advertising, and that never happened. But, you know, you and I have some commonality there. Were you using a lot of rapidograph pens back in those days on Mylar?
Yes. Right, yes. Oh, man. Those were the good old days. Mylar and that tissue paper you had to use.
Yes.
And,
tissue paper?
Wait,
I missed it.
Oh, you...
Yeah, well... It wasn't real tissue, but it was the see-through paper.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, I remember that stuff.
Yeah,
when
you had to trace certain objects over first.
Oh, yeah.
And then
we used to just call it tracing paper. Is that the same stuff? We used to just call that tracing paper. Is that the same stuff?
Tracing paper, yeah.
Okay, because I took a couple of semesters of mechanical drawing back in the dim dawn of time, and we used to use that stuff over the blueprint stuff that we did. But man,
right,
that goes back a long ways. You can't possibly be that old.
Thank you very much. But I am. and like you said, those were the fun days because you had to know how to draw back then. Nowadays, you just pop a button on a computer, it does everything. But back then, you had to know how to draw.
It's so funny that you say that because, you know, the internet and social media is full of Photoshop and, you know, all that kind of stuff. You can make a vehicle out of almost anything. I saw one just yesterday. Somebody put up a Volkswagen that looked for all the world like it had been sectioned through the middle and is about the same size as a smart car. I got to talk to you about it. We'll come back after the break here. Stand by. Danny Whitfield is our guest today. This is Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Sensory sensitivity, repetitious behavior, lack of eye contact. You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the app.
Back in Vehicle City. Yes, we are, and we're back with the second half of the Windshield View on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just before the break, we were talking to our great guest Danny Whitfield about rapidograph pens and
Photoshop.
And so take us back to what we were talking about a little bit there.
What I was going to ask him was specifically about, you see these things all the time, basically constructed vehicles that we know are Photoshop. Somewhere on the net, there's multiple pictures of, there's an F-150, I think, pickup truck that's got a GTO front end on it. And it looks like, it looks pretty good, looks like almost it could have been real. But if you look real careful, it's not. Of course, it's a made-up deal. But You say you use photographic or Photoshop, of course, but I get the feeling that most of what you do kind of comes out of your head.
Yes. Now, when I mentioned Photoshop, like I was saying, this was in some of the companies that had it on their computers, and we used it a lot for the end result of the artwork. Like you just said, it has to come from your head first. You have to be able to conceptually design something or visualize it in a way where it will start to make sense and then get the reality going, whereas now it looks like it's been sitting on a roll. But when somebody marries a Ford F-150 with a GTO, you know what that can look like.
Well, actually, I hate to say it, it looks pretty good, but that doesn't make it a good idea, you know.
Just because you can do anything with Photoshop.
Yeah, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should.
There you go.
Tell me now, one of the pieces in your page talks about specifically the Corvette art. How'd you get started in that? Are you a Corvette guy?
I'm a Corvette guy. Yes, yeah, right. I really am. And I did work at General Motors on some of the 1997 Corvettes. At that time, it was around 1993, I believe.
Okay.
And, you know, you have to work ahead, so I did work on that. But nevertheless, yes, I'm an enthusiast of the Corvette automobiles as well. And a good friend of mine, his name is Joseph Roebuck. He's the guy that got me the first job of doing creating this huge wall mural for the Corvette Museum that resides in Bowling Green, Kentucky right now. And if anybody gets a chance to see it, it's a 1965 Corvette Roadster. And I had the privilege of painting this huge wall mural for him, and it resides there to this day. And
cool.
He himself was a Corvette enthusiast. He had like 12, I think 14 Corvettes at one time. And we used to do the show circuits, and I would show off the artwork, Corvette artwork, in the cars at the same time. I'm a kid in the candy store in those years, from 1994 through 1997.
Well, there's a picture on the front page of your website with you in your Corvette polo shirt, and of course, you know, you got all the stuff. I have to ask this now, just this is the official Chris Titus question. You do have a silver metallic Corvette logo jacket, don't you?
Yes.
And you know where that came from, I assume.
No, I don't.
Oh, gosh. Oh, no. Chris Titus, the comedian, was a Corvette guy from way back. And before he bought his Viper, he was the quintessential Corvette guy. The first car-related piece of clothing he ever bought was a silver metallic Corvette logo jacket, like a members-only jacket. He was the coolest guy in his own mind.
So that brings me to ask, what cars do you have? I mean, because you're a car guy.
What's in the garage?
Yeah.
Well, cars have, I've had many and sold many and all that, but I mean, they were, you know, your typical Trans Ams, Formula 350s, I'm sorry, I think it was a 350, yes, Mercedes-Benz, I mean, it's a whole host of cars because, see, I like everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't just the muscle cars, you know, Mustangs, I've had those before, but this is a little weird, but I'm one of those guys that like luxury cars. So those big old Mercedes or even the Ford LTDs, you know, back in the day, that's what I was rolling in. While all my buddies are driving the Z28s and the Trans Ams and Porsches and everything like that,
you got the
here I am driving this big, fat Ford LTD, the family man's car. But it was kind of, as we say, pimped out back then.
Sure.
So, white walls and thick spokes.
Yeah, you got the vinyl half roof. You got the...
There you go.
The portholes on the side. I got it. I see you.
Well, it was like...
you got
you
the
know,
225 Buick. I know.
Do you know the guy that... you probably know the guy. If we're talking way back in the day, there was a builder who was known for modifying, and I believe it was either Lincoln's or... But the Superfly car with the great big huge headlights and all that.
Oh yeah, the giant Continental kit.
Les Dunham.
That's the guy. Les Dunham. Yep.
That's who you're talking about. Les Dunham. He would take all those big Cadillacs and as they say, freak them out with all that Superfly stuff. Oh, I didn't go that far.
No.
But
you didn't have the gigantic Continental kit on the back and the helicopter landing pad on the hood.
he really got into that, and he was well respected. I think he's got a following now, cult following.
Well, it's all that stuff. You know, you look at that stuff, and I mean, of course, it's over the top on purpose.
Well, but, no more over top than Big Ed Daddy Roth or any of those guys.
No, but I mean, it's just like I say, I'm not calling it out. It's over the top on purpose, but there's a lot of things that kind of ended up being fun. I mean, my favorite mod out of his years, and maybe he was the first guy to do it, I don't know, the Excalibur came out with the same thing. The flexi exhaust pipes on the outside of the fenders. You know the ones? And as soon as they made the Excalibur kit car, that thing had the exact same pipes.
I see a vision of Brady's car with those on the side of his truck that he's doing.
No. I got side stacks. I'm going the other way.
So, you guys are bringing up some good old days. I'll tell you that.
Well, yeah, we've been around for a while, I think, is what it is. Hey, so, Danny, let me ask you. Obviously, you've done just about every kind of car. I mean, I'm looking at your website, and there's almost nothing there that I would be surprised at. Do you, aside from the Corvettes, because the Corvette is an obvious choice, but is there a favorite, or is there one that you had a lot of difficulty doing? Was it one with a particular challenge to do one?
You mean as far as my drawing or painting of it?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
The Duesenberg. Now, I don't know if you can see that on there, but I did a 1932 and a 1934 Duesenberg. And when I did that painting, because it was a painting from straight off the bat, okay, I spent 1 hour just doing the wheels because, you know, it has, what, about a billion spokes in there.
Oh, yeah.
And so, so I'm, you know, I took my time to paint every spoke in that wheel. And then you're doing the huge white wall tires and the grills and all that stuff. It may take time, but it's a labor of love. So I can say that it took me about 2 months to finish that painting. It's a 30-inch by 40-inch painting.
That's awesome.
And, yes, and I did a mansion in the background. Like I said, it takes time to do it, but it's a labor of love. It's just something that you really get joy out of when you're done.
Yeah, I can imagine. And I got to actually call out one of your pieces. I'm looking at it. It's on one of the concept. I think it's on the concept drawings page. It looks like a Kenworth or a Peterbilt. I can't tell. It's an orange, big side stacks, and it's got that great big rectangular, you know, flat front bumper on it. I've seen a lot of car paintings. I mean, just I've seen a ton. You know the one I'm talking about. I've seen a ton of car paintings, but very seldom do you see somebody who can do a big flat chrome surface as a painting and get the reflection of the parking lot in front of the bumper as accurate as you did. My compliments. That's a nice piece of work.
Thank you. Thank you so much. There's a lot of artists that do that type of work, and they get a joy out of anything that's reflective. So if you're looking at a bumper, it just reflects everything behind it. But if it's a colored surface, a close-up, it's everything behind it but in one color.
Sure.
So, and it's distorted. So, and that's a joy to really do it when you're painting like that,
or
drawing or any kind of way. By the way, let me say this: when I use the electronic pen, I use it in the same fashion as a paintbrush. So, if you're looking at any of those cars that I've done with the reflections and different things going on, that was an electronic pen that I did that with.
Nice. So just for the non-technical among us, real quickly, what's an electronic pen?
We use what is called a Wacom pen. And it just looks like a regular little pencil, but it has a plastic tip on the end. But with so many different, let's see, there's ways that you can pick palettes to paint with or simulate painting. And it's in the hand. It's all in the wrist. You have to draw it out physically. And this is not something where you pop a button and boom, you get an instant reflection. No, I draw all of my reflections out.
So
everything's done with this electronic pen.
Would I, on a tablet.
Is it kind of like a more complex and involved stylus, like a tablet stylus?
Yes.
So it
is a stylus, yes.
Got it. So it reads what you're doing, and that becomes basically the signal that creates the drawing on the screen, right?
Right.
Okay.
And like I said, you have to know how to draw. So if you're laying out a car, or anything for that matter, you know that there's 1, 2, and 3-point perspective to deal with. And that's how you get the real look out of it, because a lot of guys, they draw, but their perspective is shot, and it's kind of going in this direction and in that direction.
Yeah.
But in my case, you have to plot it out. So I will take an actual pencil and draw the car out and then scan it in. And then from that point on, I'm able to just finish it up with the electronic pen that I use.
Well, I know that it comes down to artistic ability because, I mean, I'm certain that I could get an electronic pen, and I understand perspective, but that doesn't mean I'm necessarily real good at it. I think I'd have some really, really high-tech stick figures, and that's about as good as I would get.
Well,
kudos to your ability, because I know that's not an easy thing to do.
Danny, we're going to be running out of time here soon, but I wanted to jump in and ask about another thing you do offer is when people go to car shows, one of the things they like to do is have basically a poster featuring all the aspects of their car and the year, the date, what they've done for the engine, have different images and stuff. You offer that as well, do you not?
Yes, I do. That's called a show display print, where I will take their car and map it out at the top of the print and put all the technical highlights that they like to show off. And, of course, the verbiage that they give me and assemble it together, and it comes off as a very nice print.
And in some cases,
I will use my own artwork. They'll pay me to use a car that I've already drawn because they like the artwork and simulate that in the background and then, of course, put their own cars within this print. And
nice.
There's photographs that they give me, and I easily put that together for them.
Yeah, because it's just beautiful. You see these things at the shows, and they're just wonderful. And I mean, when you've gone to the time, I know Ron's in here, and he's spent years building cars, and Brady is working on it, and he's spending years. And I'm going to be starting on mine here whenever I get to it, and it's going to be years to get it done. So when you get done, you don't think, oh, I only want to spend $25. No, you'll spend a few hundred dollars to have a nice poster of that made or whatever it is,
card,
a decent show card.
Sure.
Because your show car, you know, and the same thing, that's how you get your people that want to have their cars done in a painting so they can put it on their wall. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. That's why I simply say on my website, Everlasting Memories of the Automobile, because these are everlasting memories, and you and I both know that the automobile itself is almost going extinct. If it's not an electric vehicle, it's an SUV or a truck. So that's the reason why a guy like me comes around every so 100 years. Capture the memories.
Well, I'll tell you, just speaking strictly about show cards, years ago I was doing motorcycles, and I've built a ton of them, but I had one particularly that I really enjoyed. And I had a show card made professionally by somebody who, you know, was around at the time. And I don't have that motorcycle anymore, but I still have the show card. And, you know, it's worth more just to me, you know, because I remember that I did it. And it is the last remnant of that bike that still exists in my place.
That's right. You have to have a memory some kind of way. And just like a young lady who has a baby for the first time, and they capture that baby in all kinds of beautiful shots, and then they pull it out when the kid is about 35, 40 years old. It's that same feeling.
At the wedding, to embarrass
them. You get tears in your eyes, you know?
That's super. Well, it is DannyWhitfield.com, DannyWhitfield.com. And I'm telling you, it's a website that you can get lost in because there's just a ton of beautiful cars and other projects that you got. Danny, thanks for taking some time and talking with us tonight. We really appreciate you coming on Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
You're very welcome. I'm glad you guys had me on the show.
Hey,
love it.
Well, we'd love to have you back. If you got a couple of minutes down the road, we'll give you a call and do this again.
I'd love to. Thank you very much.
All right. Danny, where are you at?
I am in California.
Perfect. You got the weather we wish we had.
We got some of it right now, actually.
Yeah, we do. We finally got some summer up here in Seattle.
Yeah. Well, that's nice. I mean, even if you stay in at home, you know, on this lockdown, you know.
We're all right.
You get to see this sometime.
Hey, well, thanks again, we're listening to the greatest automotive information show in the known world, and a great hot rod story you can share with your friends is up next on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14, 41,
31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted.
I realized
he forgot his homework.
I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to understood.org.
Hey guys, this is Carl with Garrett's Rod Shop on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And these guys are great, so listen up.
Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Okay, Forrest Animal. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much.
For taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot.
For leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom. For taking you to your therapies. For understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiver.
Good evening. It's time for Car Confidential right here on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. It's a time for another story from Lance Lambert's book of jolly good stories.
Oh, yeah.
That's Neighborhood Crackpot.
Yeah.
I think I could be a Neighborhood Crackpot.
That's one of the crazy fans of the new Seattle hockey team. The Kraken.
The Kraken.
He's a crackpot.
A crackpot.
The arena is going to be called the Crack House. Yeah, you like it?
You rat bastard.
That's Mr. Rat Bastard.
I know.
Hey, so yeah, Lance has got a whole bunch of great stories. This, of course, is Fenders, Fins, and Friends. We love this book because it's got a lot of short stories that we can read during this segment. Thank you, Lance, for doing that for us. This one is called Are You the Neighborhood Crackpot? And the answer to that, of course, is yes.
Mm-hmm.
Owning a collector car is a great hobby, but it's not a pastime for shy people. Oh. Every time you pull out of your driveway, you and the car become the center of attention. People driving by will wave. They will give you the thumbs up or the thumbs down. They'll take cell phone shots and yell, I love your car, or what the heck is that? Or you have the satisfaction of driving a beautiful piece of history and meeting many appreciative people. However, you will enjoy some of these people more than others. Consider these characters, for example, the parking lot person. Whenever your car has ceased forward momentum, you'll be cornered by someone who had one just like it. Your car may be a restored 1957 Chevrolet convertible, and his or hers may have been a four-door 59 Ford station wagon, but as far as this person is concerned, it was just like yours. It's best to listen, not to argue with him or her. Also, be prepared for the question, did you buy it new? Years ago, I was asked that question while parking my 52 Chevrolet. With a huge smile on my face, I responded, yes, I was 5 years old in 1952, and I felt that I should have my own car. I see how this story is going to go. Then there's the sleep inducer. Few admirers will want to tell you how they once rebuilt a classic car's engine, transmission, widget, whatever, and then they'll give you every detail about everything they did during the rebuild. I think you'll find this interesting. You know how the refabulation spring shaft on the transmission slurpifier is supposed to rotate clockwise? Well, this one's really interesting. I took a 3/4-inch Beeson flaffer from a 1943 Muckleberry glove dock box door and turned it into a high-performance counterclockwise spinning slurpifier. No, wait, it gets even more interesting. First, I took... At this point, you can either hone your sleeping skills while standing up or introduce the person to any warm body nearby and then walk backwards until you're out of sight. Perhaps you think nothing is more fascinating than learning additional uses for a bees and flipper, but if so, you have just made a new best friend. I want one of those. I want a bees and flipper. I have no idea what it is.
Sounds like a bunch of hooey.
But I want one. A left-handed hooey.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's the children and young adults. Find me one person under the age of 18 who likes pre-1970 cars, and I'll show you 1,000 who don't care anything about them. Remember the old coot who lived in your neighborhood when you were a child? He was that goofy old timer who chugged down the street in the Model T Ford. You know, the guy.
We had one of those in our town.
Yeah, the guy that
was his name Brady?
Who are you calling a coot?
Better than a Kraken.
You know, so one line out of Silverado that I never got a chance to use, but I like it.
Silverado.
Who you call a coot?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the guy that you and everybody else thought was a crackpot? Well, you may now be that person. More than once, I've met a neighbor who said, oh, you're the guy with those old cars. Not in itself a negative remark, but the tone of pity implied a lack of enthusiasm for my hobby. And then there's the greenie. These people are angry because of what they assume. Their assumptions include that your car is a gas-guzzling monster, that you obviously care nothing about the environment. I share with them that my 1950 Studebaker gets the same gas mileage as my 2006 Mustang. I've not tested the emissions on the Studebaker, but I suspect it's very minimal. I usually drive my collector cars less than a few hundred miles a year, so my footprint is likely pretty small.
And also, he recycled the car. He didn't throw it in the dumpster.
That's right. And then there are the normal people. These people are one of the joys of the hobby. They're interested in your car and in its history. They ask questions, and then they engage in a two-way conversation about your car and the old cars that they once owned and how they plan on getting another old car in the future. And by the end of the conversation, they may have told you something you didn't know about your car, and perhaps you've given them the motivation to come back into the old car hobby. You might even, dare we say it, have made a friend.
Win-win.
Is it all that it takes? Is that it to be the owner of a collector car? Are you willing to put in the necessary time and expense that a vintage vehicle requires? Do you enjoy driving a car that depends on ancient engineering and 65-year-old parts to keep it running? 65. We laugh at 65. If the answer is yes, then congratulations. You've just entered one of the most interesting and rewarding hobbies on this planet.
My car's 11 years from being 100 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, mine's a year younger than I am, but it's already looking at some metal fatigue.
Yeah, it was born.
Actually, 1940, 41, that's 10 years older than I am. Whoa, that's scary. That's frightening.
Steve's
car is younger than he is.
Yes, it is.
It is. It's younger than you. No less cool for that,
nope.
By golly.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
It was the first year. Was that first year of the El Camino?
First model year of the brand new version.
That's right.
Of the El Camino. 68 through 72 was the next run.
That was it.
And it was the first model year where the SS396 package was offered.
Nice.
So you could get that in the Chevelle, but you could not get it in the El Camino. So
what year is your El Camino again?
68.
68, yeah.
Okay.
And right, when I fell in love with them because my buddy had a 69 Chevelle. SS. And so when I went to look for cars, and he also had his dad had a 69 El Camino, which is the one we started driving before he got his own car. So I always liked the two. I was a kid delivering papers, I go, oh, look at that. There's that 69.
And the secret about the 69 Chevelle 396 SS?
What?
Do you know what it is?
Nope.
It's the car that they gave John Wick after they trashed his Mustang.
That's right.
And he drove it out of John Leguizamo's garage, and I thought, oh, yes, I will have that car. That will be my car.
Is that like the first movie of the John Wick series?
It was. It was the first one, yeah.
I've never watched any of them.
Oh, you have to watch them.
Oh, it's a treat.
You have to watch them.
You're going to watch it.
You have to watch them just for Keanu Reeves.
Try and watch them in line.
Yeah.
I've been doing that with the James Bond, and now I'm in, just did the second of the new Craig.
Craig?
And
Daniel,
I'm going to tell you,
Craig,
they totally did a good job. When they brought him in, they flipped it, they went serious, and they were showing you exactly the kind of life that you would really live It's no more Playboy stuff. This guy's like dead or not, and and he has feelings, and I like it. So my wife and I are working through it. But anyway,
he brought back the car.
That's right. For a while, they brought back the Aston Martin.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Always too cool. Always too cool. And they are making. We knew this. We saw this on the show. What is it? A couple of weeks ago, you did. Aston Martin is repopping
the original
DB5.
Nice.
That's right.
Yeah, and it's like
with all the bells and whistles.
I'll bet
the
it's
going to
be more than $29,000. Like the Bronco.
I'll bet it will be. $29,000 is what gets you on the list.
Yeah, maybe. 6 months you might get one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Six months.
Yeah, probably $100K or more for one of those suckers.
You know
easy.
It is. Of course it is.
But worth it, know, though. If you could afford it, it'd be worth
it. Sure, just to say you had, you know, the machine guns behind the front turn signals. Well, that's
I'm sure one's going to show up on Jay Leno's garage one of these days.
Oh,
I mean,
he already has.
He's probably
he
already
has the original.
Has
he's got
he
the original.
Original.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, when you
him or Tim Allen, one of the two of them. Absolutely.
Us mortals. Thanks, yeah. Yeah.
Thanks to Lance for Fenders, Fins, and Friends, Confessions
yes, thanks,
of a Car
Lance.
Guy. He does a super job. And we got to start reading out of Grins, Gears, and Gasoline here in a little while because it's also a good one. And yeah, you can find those books, by the way, on Amazon. You can get them to the Vintage Vehicle Show website. Your bookshelf would not be complete without them, and especially the bookshelf in your bathroom because that's where a lot of those books get read.
Well, the question I have is, are you guys been doing any of the – well, Brady's car isn't ready to go yet.
It's getting there.
Have you done any cruises around here locally?
We just did the Corona cruise at Lake Stevens last weekend. Brady was there in his
– I was. And I had my Rat Bastards jacket on the dashboard so people knew that even though I was following
there
John Beeson in his COE.
How many people showed up for that?
Oh,
it was probably over 100 cars.
Yeah.
I think it was 100.
Terry was saying
is
she
this unofficial
four.
Or just joining it?
It was unofficial.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. Under the radar.
That's what you need
for
to do.
The Boys
As
and
a matter of fact,
Club.
We're going to talk with Terry about this next week.
All
she
right.
said she's going to come on the show, so we'll get the whole story.
She's a good kid.
Yeah. Hey, the Nathan Lipinski Weekly Trivia Questions next. We've got a peek at next week's show. Don't go anywhere. Ron says, put it in park and stick around.
Put it in park, stick around.
Ha! See, I told you he said it.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, fish that.
Oh, come on. This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Hang on till right after these messages.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy. Which is great, because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino, El Camino man.
Hey. Welcome back to Around the Wheel. This is where we usually cover upcoming events and the Nathan Lipinski Weekly Automotive Trivia Question. We are going to do the trivia question, but first, sad news. I just got the press release today from the Edmonds Classic Car and Motorcycle Show in downtown Edmonds, Washington. This is a show that's an annual thing. This would have been the 20th year, but due to all the COVID stuff, They are going to cancel the show. The press release is out. I spoke with Greg Urban, who's the president of the Chamber of Commerce down there that produces the show. And there's some real nice quotes in the press release from Bruce Nichols and Greg and myself, because I'm the chairman of the show. And, you know, we can't do it this year, but we're going to do it next year. This weekend, there was a terrific cruise, which Ron and I went to, and Ron actually has something about that, right?
The cruise?
Well, yeah.
They have a request on a new location for the next one.
There's going to be another
three,
one.
We're
going to have Terry Osterwick, involved in that cruise, organizing the thing. She's going to be on next week, and we're going to find out if she's gotten that thing. But we also had Danny Whitfield on earlier, artist, and you had something about him, where the museum is something about that? I missed it.
Well, the Corvette Museum. The Corvette Museum is where they're having the Rat Fink reunion this year in Kentucky.
Okay.
And
2020 or 2021?
This year.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to happen this year. Trixie's going to be there. Ed Roth's wife.
Widow.
She's going to be there. And,
cool.
It's going to be, they're going to have all their stores, all their t-shirts and all their cool stuff.
And you're going to line us up with her, aren't you?
Sure.
Okay.
I will.
We'll get her.
Yep.
Well, let's do the trivia question. Last week's question, the first Grand Prix, the very first Indianapolis Grand Prix had a very interesting winning speed. Interesting because, you could probably run almost that fast these days. 1901 was the very first Grand Prix, and it was won with an average speed of a blistering 46 miles an hour.
Wow.
Now, in 1901, that would have been pretty good.
Yeah.
And we asked, do you know what the speed was? And interestingly enough, we did get a winner. Actually, I had two, but the first one to call in was Dan Duryea, and that's the name of a really old actor, too, long gone now, but I don't think he spells it the same way. Anyway, Dan is in, strangely enough, Indianapolis. Guess how he knew the name, the speed. Yeah. Well, there's a huge museum. So, congratulations, Dan. We're going to put your name on the certificate for the horsepower chrome and rust barn find dust. This week's question: how can you have a car these days without some sort of music? Sound systems, stereos, CDs, DVDs, who knows what the heck it is these days. It's all digital now. They don't even talk to you about CDs anymore. But there was first, at some point, a radio itself was the first music device in cars, and they were offered as an accessory. This is an easy one, really. In what year? What year was a radio first offered as an accessory, not a standard equipment, but an accessory in cars? If you know, you can go to the red, white, and blue email at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com. You can go to the Facebook page and put an answer there, or you can use any other electronic device that you choose. Standing outside my house and screaming at 2 a.m. will not get you the answer to question.
Do it.
Will help you
to your satisfied.
Meet my pit bulls, I can tell you that, but it's not probably.
I have seen, Brady, turntables in like a 1957 Mercury.
They used to have a 45 RPM record player under the dashboard.
Lincoln, it dropped down and comes out and then you could do it.
I mean, it's, if you think about it, that was back in the day when you could roll up to a drive-in, order a beer, sip on it, and have your burger, and then drive on down
root
the road
beer.
With your
root beer.
A root beer, of course.
Well, you just watch Double Indemnity, and Fred McMurray pulls into a drive-in, and he orders a beer, and then he's off.
Well, they used to have drive-through
liquor stores. Maybe that was the whole thing. It set him up to fall for that Black Widow.
In some states, they had drive-in liquor stores. It's amazing.
Arizona.
Hey, check out the Horsepower Chrome and Rust Facebook page. All the full-color 8x10 winner certificates are there for the trivia question. We reach over 1 million car enthusiasts every week. We're still in the top 10 of all the automotive podcasts. Thanks to Danny Whitfield for stopping by and telling us all about car art. It was gangs of fun. Next week, hey, what's happening with two big, huge events? Ron Foreman and Steve Johann are here. I'm Brady Wright. Keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, and your foot to the floor. Cruise on by next week. It's another Horsepower Chrome and Rust.